supporting your local businesses.
Fox Sports Updates brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new dinner specials on Thursday through Saturday. And check out the great new golf shop.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Dan Beyer.
Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill addressing the situation that he was in on Sunday prior to their season opener against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I could have been better. You know, I could have let down my window, you know, in that instant. But does that give them the right to literally beat the dog out of me? Absolutely not.
No, last night Hill released a statement through his attorney saying that he wants Officer Danny Torres to be fired, as the 27-year veteran was put on administrative leave for his actions towards Hill in Sunday's incident. Hill reiterated today that he wants Torres out of the Miami-Dade police force. Dolphins did rule running back Raheem Mostert out of tomorrow's Week 2 matchup with the Bills because of a chest injury. Running back Devon Achane is considered a game-time decision with an ankle issue. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson back at practice today after missing Monday's workout, while no practice for Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins. And the Browns have ruled tight end David Njoku out against Jacksonville because of his ankle injury.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new daily specials. And check out the great new golf shop. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, this is your agribusiness update. California packing houses in pear growing districts are running at full tilt as growers box more fruit for the fresh market this year and ship less to the canneries. The pivot came after one of the state's two pear canneries, with weakened demand and inventory bolstered by last year's bumper crop, slashed its orders. Pear growers say the Walnut Creek-based cannery asked farmers to undershoot their contract tonnage, some by as much as 45%. Many ag leaders are expressing dismay over the delays in getting a new farm bill passed, but with less than 2 months before the elections, it appears unlikely, with the current farm bill extension expiring this month. Farm CPA Paul Niefer tells AgWeb the ag economy is seemingly in a recession, and without an updated farm bill, farmers may struggle even more, with the net farm income expected to be substantially lower in 2025. Vitaeatom, a Belgian company specializing in organic greenhouse-grown vegetables, recently introduced a new organic variety of tomato called Ruby Red. This deep red plum tomato is a first in the organic market and has earned Vitaeatom a nomination for the BioVlam 2024 award. Despite challenges, Vitaeatom likes the tomato's potential, noting its excellent flavor and shelf life. The first harvest has been well received, leading to plans for expanding the cultivation significantly next year.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has reneged on its promise to let America's cattle ranchers choose the type of animal identification device that best fits their operations. Ranchers can now use low-cost ear tags, or they can use the high-cost electronic identification, or EID, ear tags. Giving ranchers the choice is a fundamental value we all understand. But the USDA wants a one-size-fits-all system, and beginning November 5th, ranchers will be forced to use high-cost EID ear tags when shipping adult cattle across state lines. This freedom and liberty stripping mandate must be stopped. Congresswoman Harriet Hagman and U.S. Senator Cynthia Lummis, both from Wyoming, have introduced resolutions to overturn this mandate, and they need your help. Please call your members of Congress and urge them to support the resolutions of disapproval that will overturn the USDA's EID mandate. You can reach your members of Congress by calling 202-224-3121 and ask for them by name. This message is brought to you by RCAF USA.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's agribusiness.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks are mixed in afternoon trading as investors scale back expectations for how much relief the Fed will deliver next week when it begins slashing interest rates. The government's latest update on inflation at the consumer level showed some signs of improvement. Overall inflation slowed to 2.5% in August annually, a touch better than expected. But prices rose more from July into August than expected when excluding food and energy. The data bolstered expectations that the Fed will cut its benchmark interest rate a quarter of a percentage point instead of the more severe half a point that some had been expecting. And PricewaterhouseCoopers U.S. division is laying off about 1,800 workers, its first formal job cuts in years, and restructuring its products and tech group to simplify operations and address declining demand for certain services. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Hey, Donald Trump Jr. here. Biden is dead set to fulfill his agenda before leaving office. Translation, more money printing and soaring inflation. Is gold the answer to protect your savings and retirement? To find out, get a free info kit from Birch Gold Group by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. Don't let inflation wreck your IRA or 401k. Act now to secure your future. Text SHELTER to the number 989898 for your free info kit from Birch Gold.
Paid for by Birch Gold Group.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
It's summer. Time to get outside. Whether you're headed out for a hike, to the beach, or just taking a walk, Tackins has the shoes you need to get outdoors in comfort. Treat your feet to the latest sandals from Keen, Reef, Olukai, Earth, Birkenstock, and much more. Take a hike in the latest and greatest outdoor shoes from Tanner, Keen, Merrell, and much more. Come on down to Tackins in Paso or San Luis today and treat your feet to something special. Tackins Shoes, locally owned and operated since 1937.
CNC Tree Service, locally owned by Randall and Shannon Clegg for 38 years. Tree removal, trimming, cabling, corrective pruning, stump grinding, brush and road clearance. They have the equipment for any residential or commercial job. If you want instant shade with mature trees, they have the only spade truck in the area to plant or move your large trees. CNC has moved oaks, manzanita, olives, palms, pepper, and various others. Licensed and insured, member of the International Society of Arboriculture. Call 805-434-0914.
Looking for the perfect midweek escape? Unwind at Cello Ristorante and Bar, where every Wednesday is industry night. From 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., enjoy live music, $4 draft beer, $5 wine on tap. Savor delicious food specials, including the mouth-watering flatbreads, perfect for sharing. It's the midweek pick-me-up you deserve. Check out Cello Ristorante and Bar this Wednesday, 805-369-2503 to make your reservation.
Should our judgment of welfare be based only on whether it raises the standard of living for recipients, or should we also consider what it does to the character of the people who participate? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
For the last 2 days, I've been talking about welfare and the need to correct some of the costly, cumbersome, bureaucratic nonsense that has taken it far afield from its original purpose. Today, I'd like to touch on what it may be doing to the spirit and character of our people. Knowing how easy it is to be attacked as heartless and unfeeling, let me say a few things about my own position. First of all, I believe in our responsibility to help those who, for whatever reason, are unable to provide for themselves and their families. Right now, I believe we could do more for the truly needy if we weren't spread too thin, providing for some who are just greedy. Milton Friedman, the noted economist, once said, "When you start paying people to be poor, you wind up with an awful lot of poor people." From my own experience, I'm convinced that most welfare recipients are unhappy being on welfare, and they'd much rather be self-sustaining and self-respecting. I'm also sure, however, that encouraged by some professional welfarists, many lose their desire to leave welfare and begin accepting it as a way of life, indeed a career in itself. When this happens, we're destroying human beings, not salvaging them. There's a so-called National Welfare Rights Organization dedicated to demanding a voice in how much of a worker's earnings must be shared with them. A few years ago, a Mrs. Beulah Sanders, representing this organization before the House Ways and Means Committee, said, Everyone in this country has a right to share the wealth. The money has gone into the pockets of the middle class. And if we don't get our share, we're going to disrupt this state, this country, and this capital. Federal officials have habitually said fraud in welfare was less than 1%. But Dr. Richard Nathan, while a deputy to the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, said, "Our problem is we can't even detect fraud." Former Congressman Bill Shirley of Iowa once told his colleagues, "Take the capital of the strongest, wealthiest, most freedom-loving country in history. Give it an unemployment rate of only 2%, but 1 out of 5 on welfare. The median income is $10,500, yet federal aid per capita is 6 times as much as it is for the citizens of Iowa. Then set up a federally funded consumer complaint department in a model city project, and what is the number one complaint of these deprived people? Jobs? Housing? Crime? Their color TV sets don't work properly." In 1968, CORE, the Committee on Racial Equality, told us why we should be supporting the present move in Congress to reform welfare. They said, "Handouts are demeaning. They do violence to a man, strip him of his dignity, and breed in him a hatred of the total system. Poor men want the same as the rest of us. They want to be independent. They want jobs and control over their own destiny. Welfare," they said, "is no answer. We seek to harness the creative energy of private enterprise to achieve a solution to America's crisis. We look to American independence of spirit to recognize opportunity and to take advantage of it. It's happened in the past. It can happen again." The end of CORE's quote. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And for the next several weeks, we're going to continue on with the candidate forums. This week, we are again doing Paso Robles School District candidates. And we're going one district at a time. We will be done with that this week. Next week, we will be doing the city council races. We will be doing both District 1 and District 3. All three candidates from both, the six candidates will all be on the show. It'll be your chance to see how the candidates feel about the different issues. And for those that don't know, the way we're doing this, instead of me deciding what was important in these races, I've had the candidates provide the questions. I ask one question from each candidate, and then we go back. We go from question to question. They provided the questions they thought were important. We start with an introduction. Both candidates introduce themselves, and then we go on to the questions. They can respond to the other person's answers. It's been flowing very, very nice at this time. I want to give one quick update before we get on to today's forum. I'm a reporter with Cal Coast News. Recently, I was able to get my hands on a taped interview that an FBI agent, a federal prosecutor, and a federal commissioner did with former city manager Derek Johnson of the city of San Luis Obispo. And what is fascinating about this, they had interviewed him 3 times earlier. For those that don't know, lying to an FBI agent is a felony. And you can get up to 5 years in jail for each lie. He goes into this last interview that is taped, and again, I have the transcribed copy of it, and they tell him repeatedly, you know, you said you had one meeting. We think there were others. Do you want to clarify? And then he clarified, well, didn't you meet him here also? Didn't you meet him there also with Adam Hill and talking about why he was promoting projects for Adam Hill rather than doing what was needed for the city? It's a fascinating pair of stories. One was posted yesterday. One is up today. And it is regarding the federal interviews with Derek Johnson. I had someone post online, why is this important now? The criminal cases, the criminal investigation is ongoing, and there are criminal cases with people involved in this fraud winding through the federal court system right now. This is not from 10 years ago. Yeah, a lot of this happened 10 years ago. The indictments are happening now. But today, let's get to our debate. Today we have, what district is this?
Five.
District 5 for the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District. We have Lauren McCoy and Tim Gearhart in the studio. Lauren, we're going to start with you. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, why you're running, and what you think you bring to the table?
Campus safety, maintenance, accountability, protecting parental rights is one of the real reasons why I ran in the first place. And then since being on the board for the last 2 years, I really feel like fiscal responsibility is something that really needs to take place in our district, as well as just an academic excellence. And so I just want to be able to have the opportunity to continue my service to our community, our students, our staff, and our district.
Thank you very much, Lauren. And Tim, the same question. Why are you running and what do you bring to the district?
All right. I'm running because I feel that certain elements of safety are being overlooked by not only the district, but also the city council. In fact, we had two kids hit at the corner of Rosemary and Niblick just the other day. No major physical damage was done to them, but the bottom line is the situation there at Rosemary and Niblick is critical to the safety of many of our kids, just not only for Almond Acres, Pfeiffer, but also the high school and on like that, and it has to be taken care of. So that's one of them. That's how I got into this. And then a group of neighbors came up and asked me to run about 2 weeks before we did this and put in our final papers. I was not real excited, quite frankly. I've served three terms on the school board. I taught in the area for 36 years. I know Paso pretty well. And a lot of the voters out there have been my ex-students. So what's important, though, is that we continue with some excellent education and at the same time making sure our kids are safe. Now, we have the responsibility as a district for kids going to school and coming home. And that means maybe we should look again at working on better systems of transportation for the kids without going overboard. Finally, it's also something that we have to look at is the money being spent in special ed and homeless kids. Now, by law, we have to go ahead and support these groups, and I do. But how can we go ahead and do this if we end up having to cut programs? This is one set of programs we cannot cut because of the law. But on the other hand, we can go ahead and cut out other things. The question will be, what are we going to cut? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim. And Lauren, I'm going to ask you the first question. Are you in favor of supporting social promotion for students who are two grade levels behind or more, especially in terms of reading literacy?
I'm not, actually. And if our students are not meeting proper standards to promote, then we should not be allowing them to just slide through. First of all, we need to make sure that we're doing our due diligence to make sure that our students are up to par when it comes to the foundational principles of learning. I was very disappointed last night with the information that we received at our board meeting regarding the overall reading and math scores. And, you know, these students are failing in math and reading, which are two very important life skills that they need to be successful in for their future. And so I feel like we need to step things up in a big way and start early and give them incentives to want to learn and make learning fun. I know our teachers are doing so much. And, you know, my dad would always tell me that your future foundation starts at home. And so we need families to do their part as well. It's not just the full responsibility of the district to set our students up for success. It's primarily the parents and families of these students that they belong to them. And they need to make sure that they're making these fundamentals very a big priority for them. And so, you know, I know that a lot of things happen, we get busy, but there's so many resources out there. I mean, even for the summer, the library did a whole reading program geared around reading for families, and there was huge incentives for these kids reading certain amount of hours throughout the summer. And I know me and my kids participated in it. They even got me excited about doing it. And so taking advantage and not being afraid to ask for help. I know it's overwhelming, yes, but we all have busy lives, and it's super important to make sure that we are doing the very best we can for our students. And I also know that it's the parents' responsibility to advocate, to support, to show up, ask questions, ask follow-up questions, and we need to make sure that the curriculums that are being chosen are appropriate for our students' learning levels. I know last night Maggie introduced or mentioned the decodable books for our K through second grade that are getting ready to start rolling out. And I feel like that's a good step in the right direction. And it doesn't stop there, though. When those books come home, families need to make sure that they're sitting down together and reading those books and putting those in their daily routine and making it a part of everyday life and just really showing their kids how important it is. And even if they're having challenges in reading, it's super important for them to reach out for resources for them to help them to be better readers and help them with math. Unfortunately, we have this Common Core that has changed over the last 12 years, and parents aren't able to help their students with their math homework because that's not how we learned. But we also saw a decrease in the percentages of students grasping the math fundamentals. I know we're talking about reading, but they still go hand in hand. So that's how I feel about that.
Thank you very much, Lauren. And Tim, the same question. Are you in favor of supporting social promotion for students who are two grade levels or more behind, especially in terms of reading literacy?
Well, I agree with my person next to me here.
Opponent.
Well, I don't really see you as an opponent. Actually, she is correct. It is wrong. All you're doing is a kick the can down the road. And the further you kick it, the less they're able to be successful by the time they graduate from high school, if they graduate. So the bottom line is, what are you going to do and how you're going to do it? You know, in the past, they had a couple of programs set up by this gal named Madeline Hunter. And basically what she was saying, You got to get with the kid on his level or her level and work with things that work with her or him. So the bottom line, as far as reading goes, is working on visualization, working on physical things that they can get involved in that go right to the reading skills. Also, there are 5,000 basic words used in our language that are critical for learning and understanding. And you start with the basic, most used ones and work up. So spelling shouldn't be coming from a spelling book because that is what the production people of the workbooks want us to do as long as we pay. It doesn't equate to the kids' lives. Also, socioeconomic, the lower socioeconomic group in this town has a problem, and the middle socioeconomic group is feeling it too, and that is many of our families, both adults, work. And so when they get home, it's really hard for them to help their kids for 2 hours after they eat. So I'm not saying that's okay. I'm saying that's unfortunate, and that's what's happening too. So good old Madeline Hunter, which is years past now, had something called mastery learning. And when you go to a mechanic with something's wrong with your car, you don't get a C 70% done. You want the whole thing. You want an A. And what that means is you don't accept a half job. Well, it's like that with our grading system. If somebody gets a C, that means 30% of the knowledge hasn't been learned. So, in mastery teaching, that kid or groups of kids that got 30% unlearned, well, the teacher sits down and works with them. And it might be during their playtime. It might be after school. It might be, we even had Saturday school for teacher volunteers. And it worked much better. So once the child knows that he can learn it and reach the goal set by the parents, the child, and the teacher, you have a winning combination, but it's a different way of looking at education, and it works. We have to tie in with the child, not against him. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim. And Lauren, this next question, Tim, you're going to answer the next question first. Is it appropriate that the district must support special need programs and homeless children? Why or why not?
All right. The problem with that is in many cases, we have no choice. The federal law and the state law basically says we must pay attention to these kids and give them the special needs that are mandated in their IEPs. And if you've been in education at all, you know those three letters, IEP, which mandates that if in the IEP it says that the child must have a ride to and from school, regardless if we're short on bus drivers or anything, We have to go ahead and supply that, which means the money that goes into the special classes, special programs, and transportation, we have to find it from the basic stuff we get.
And we're going to have to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we're going to be back with more with Paso Robles School District candidates Lauren McCoy and Tim Gearhart.
The customer service and workmanship at Davis Body Shop is first rate.
Jessica, who is a North County resident, talks about her experience at Davis Body Shop.
Lori, Eric, and Patrick were super helpful. Patrick did a great job ensuring that everything my car needed was done in an incredibly fast time. My car looks amazing inside and out. For body work and customer care, Davis is the best, and we would never take our cars anywhere else.
Davis Body Shop has repaired well over 80,000 vehicles since 1962, and today Davis is the longest established shop on the Central Coast. If you ever need the services of Davis Body Shop, remember, they are San Luis Obispo County's most honored, respected, and trusted auto collision specialist with two locations, on El Camino Real with a convenient enterprise car rental facility, and Davis Body Shop on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Driven to be the best.
The veteran-owned Ted Miles Motors in Atascadero.
The cars you want, the people you like.
Serving you for 49 consecutive years.
Just plain good deals without the hype.
Ted Miles Motors, same location since 1975.
Selling cars the way it should be done. And giving you service that's second to none.
Driven to be the best.
Ted Miles Motors, in business for 49 years, has sold over 13,000 vehicles and is the longest established used car dealer in San Luis Obispo County. So whether buying or selling a car, truck, van, SUV, motorhome, or classic car, visit their easy-to-navigate website, TedMilesMotors.com, or their showroom, 7380 El Camino Real in Atascadero, next to Farrell's Auto Repair.
Driven to be the best!
Ted Miles Motors, Atascadero.
Paso Robles Glass is exclusively presenting the new Milgard Trinzic Series windows and doors. If you're looking for a vinyl window frame that is contemporary with modern crisp lines, you'll love the new Trinzic Series from Milgard and Paso Robles Glass. Give your home a clean, sleek look with less vinyl and more glass to enjoy your view. Whether it's new construction or replacement, Paso Robles Glass has a window for you. And remember, they are the replacement window masters. Call Paso Robles Glass for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. That's 238-4014 for Paso Robles Glass.
Get it fast, save some cash. Paso Glass is where it's at.
Welcome to the driver's seat of freedom. Get behind the wheel and find your freedom faster. Win one of two Chevy Corvette Stingrays or a share of $50,000 in slot replay from Chumash Casino Resort. Drawing September 15th, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Welcome to freedom. Human. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm the host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I currently have school district candidates Lauren McCoy and Tim Gearhart in the studio for a candidates forum. We are going through questions. We are not taking calls. Lauren, I'm going to give you the same one that Tim just answered. Is it appropriate that the district must support special need programs and homeless children? Why or why not?
Yes, I feel that it's important that special needs and homeless children should be supported with special programs that help equip them for their future. In certain circumstances such as these, we as a district, we need to exhaust every avenue to make sure that, you know, the population of these students is set up for success as best we can. It's not their fault that they have these difficult challenges. Is it expensive for our district? 100%. We talked about those numbers last night at our board meeting. I don't think that we should support them once they have graduated, though. I believe like the age is 25 for some circumstances. I feel like that once they graduate from high school and become of adult age, I think that we should be able to set them up with community programs so that our resources as a district will be utilized for school age students.
Thank you very much. And if you want to respond to something someone else has said, we let you respond.
Oh, thank you. Basically, I agree. The only problem is sometimes, depending on the case, a child might be with us for some time, but there are special programs. NRC, I think, is one of them. That is a good way of slipping them into real-world responsibilities and learning how to go ahead and be a functional part of our society.
And bottom line, if we do our due diligence and work together with that student's parents, speaking about the homeless population, then we should be able to help them be set up for success and the tools that they need, just like every other student.
Right.
Thank you, Lauren. And now, Lauren, this one's to you first. Do you support parent involvement in selecting curriculum and textbooks?
Yes, I do, and I think that they should have input on what is being taught to their students and know what they're being exposed to. I feel like that's super important as a parent. I always want to know what my children are learning and how they're learning it, what they're being exposed to. I realize that, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to picking curriculum and textbooks, but involve the families in the process, I feel, is very important. And those that truly want to participate, because I know that we put things on display in the district office for parents to come and look at, but they don't always show up, right? So a lot of people do a lot of complaining about things, but they don't have action behind it. They just sit there and complain. So for the ones that do want to participate and be involved in their child's education and curriculum, textbooks, whatnot, I feel like that should be an open opportunity to them. So that they can participate.
Thank you very much, Lauren. And Tim, same question. Do you support parent involvement in selecting curriculum textbooks?
Well, it all depends on the parent. And by that I mean if they have a background of the skills necessary to objectively judge what material is. Absolutely. In fact, my door, while I was teaching, was open to the parents, and we had some fun, too. The whole thing, though, is the three-legged stool again. An important part of a child's education is interaction with the parents and they with the child's education. So, yeah, I would say let's go together. Let's build this all together as a community.
So when you say, Tim, that if the parent or guardian is capable, do you not think that parents know what's best for their children in that regard?
Now, there's two different things.
Okay.
One is teaching an academic situation. The other one is emotional and need-based. The need-based parents and teachers can work together on.
Let's get back, and we'll touch on this when we come back and give you a chance to finish this discussion, and then we'll move on to the next question. We're going to take our top of the hour break, and we'll be back with more with Lauren McCoy and Tim Gearhart.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.